Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. We're going to study about a way which seemeth right. Now, a particular study that we're going to do today could include a lot of different ways. We're actually going to study one in particular and make application there so we'll understand it. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, if you want the way of life, it's very simple. All you need to do is go through your Bible until you find the way of life. And the way of life is undoubtedly, indisputably, Jesus Christ. That is the way of life. And you can tell that by one verse of Scripture in the Bible, and frankly, we don't base this doctrine on just one verse, but on many verses, but one verse succinctly and clearly states it all. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, not a way, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Now there's one verse that clearly, succinctly, absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt, tells you the right way. You see, the problem in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 is, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus Christ said, there's no seeming to this. I'm going to tell you clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he makes it very exclusive. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's very exclusive. All by itself, there it stands. So if you want the way of life, you must have Jesus Christ. That's plain. That's simple. Now, there are many other ways that people have devised, thinking that their way is the right way because it seems right, at least it seems right to them. But the Bible says that any of those ways alone, no matter what they are the ways. The end thereof are the ways of death. And that's, in other words, the end result. Seems right while you're alive. When you die, you find out one more time that that way was just one more of the ways of death. There's lots of different religions that we could examine today when we talk about a way which seemeth right. But we could not do any of this justice in 30 minutes. We could not possibly examine all of the religions that profess to be the right way. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick one. And actually what I'm thinking of doing is picking several others and dealing with those on subsequent broadcasts as well, because I know from our listeners, when you call and you say, do you have any material that can help us with, and you name a particular religion, that I know that that there are several religions that have confused your family members or perhaps have confused you, and you want to know what the right way is. Let me say this. We're going to deal with one today, and we're going to deal with it because it seems to be the most common way, the most common religion that we deal with in this part of the country. We are going to deal with the Catholic way because it seems right. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we're going to deal with a way that seems right, the Catholic way. Now, If you are a practicing Roman Catholic or a nominal Roman Catholic, that is, you believe what the Catholic Church teaches, you're just not very faithful to go, and it concerns you that somebody is getting ready to take the Bible and show you some things about Catholicism to cause you to see it from the Bible's way, a way that seems right. And because we're getting ready to deal with a religion that you know something about, you're suddenly scared or offended and tempted to, you know, turn off the broadcast and go listen to something else because you don't want to hear this, don't do it. Don't switch. Whatever you do, just endure it. I'm not going to be vicious. I'm not going to be haughty. I'm going to simply talk about some ways within the Catholic religion with which I am very familiar personally and show you from the Bible what the Bible has to say about those things simply to help you. That's all that I'm doing it for, simply to help you. If I had the opportunity to talk with your priest and we got into a discussion about the Bible, I might get on to him, but I'm not going to get on to you because presumably you're a man or a woman that simply wants to know and be sure that when you die, you're going to wind up in heaven. And if that's what you want to know, I encourage you to listen to what the Bible has to say about these matters. The Catholic way seems right, because it is a way that includes several things that absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt, give you an impression that you are absolutely doing the right thing. I'll give you one. The Catholic way seems right because it includes family honor. You know, family is a very important thing, and there are a lot of people that talk about family these days and doing things to uphold the family and not to destroy the family. And the Catholic way is a way of family honor. You honor your parents, you honor your grandparents, you even honor your great-grandparents when you continue in the Catholic religion, because that is the religion that was brought to you by your ancestors. And in order to honor them and respect them, you would not do anything to cross the family honor. But you know, Jesus said something about the difficulty of upholding family honor and becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ at the same time. He knew that in certain ways that seem right to men, the family issue, the family concern would be a major problem. He knew that. And so that's why he said what he said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Now I want you to hear it because he understands, and he understood this himself personally. He said, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own family and among his own kinsmen. His brothers at first had nothing to do with him when he started off in the ministry. Later, his own brother James pretty much headed up the Jerusalem church, but early on in the ministry, they thought he was beside himself. They even came one time when he was preaching to some folks to talk with him because it looked like he was beside himself, and kind of mocked him a little bit about going to feasts down in Jerusalem to preach his doctrine. Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So Jesus knew from personal experience, he also knew from what he was preaching, that problems with the family would necessarily arise. He knew it. And he knew that the family honor was one of the things that religions would use to hold their adherence. That is, we're going to ask you to do things with your children early on in their rearing in our religion so that they are locked in, part of the group. And boy, nobody wants to break that. And Jesus knew that. But he said, if you love father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. You see, he knew the problem you would face. I had a gentleman the other day that I was visiting with concerning salvation from the Bible. And he told me that he was raised in the Catholic Church, but he was a nominal Catholic. In other words, he didn't attend regularly, but He still honored his father and mother with it and professed Catholicism and would attend church with them when he visited them. And we started talking about the Bible, and he said, you know, I'm a little scared right now as we go into this conversation because I have always been told when I was from my childhood days that if you ever go against the religion, you're going against the family and you're not supposed to do this. You see, Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, if you want to be my disciple, sometimes you're going to face family rejection. And if you love your father or mother more than me, then you're not worthy of me. He said in verse 36 in the same chapter, Matthew chapter 10, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Because they'll turn against you. And I know that gives you a great deal of concern as we go through this lesson. It's already got you scared. But you can't be worried about it. If you really want to know, you have to endure that little bit of fear. I don't like to go to the doctor's office and get a shot. Recently I had a thing removed, and I didn't want to go to the doctor to have that thing worked on. I guarantee you, man, I don't like it. But I knew it was for my good, so I did it anyway. And you may not like the discussion we're having, but endure it because it's good for you anyway, see? I visited with a young man and his wife 3 months ago, probably maybe 2 months ago in their home, and we were talking about the fact that he had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and had realized that the way he had been trained in Catholicism was a way that seemed right, but in fact it wasn't the Bible way. It wasn't the right way. And he said he read Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, and realized that once he told his family he had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, that he would probably have trouble with them. So he was prepared for it when his family rejected him after he got saved. He said, I knew it was coming. Jesus said it would happen. And so I expected it. But, you know, he held his line, held his course, and eventually his family accepted it because they saw the changes in his life. So the Catholic way seems right because it upholds the family honor. But also the Catholic way seems right because of the centuries of tradition. This is not a brand new religion. This is something that has gone on for centuries. At least, I mean, we can find Pope Leo, the first official pope of the church, 460 A.D. And how many years ago is that, you know? That's 1,540 years ago, more or less. And before that, you can find councils of religious groups meeting together in the 300 A.D.s. Leading to what has finally become the Catholic Church. We're talking about 15, 16 centuries of history. That is a long time. But Jesus said about this centuries of tradition, Jesus said in Mark chapter 7 that centuries of tradition would not necessarily indicate that you had the right way, because you see our text says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And it would seem right that if that church had been around for, let's say, 15 or 16 centuries, that in fact it would be the right church. I mean, who wouldn't expect that? But the fact that it has maintained that tradition for that many centuries doesn't mean that in fact it is the right way. What the Lord said about tradition is found in Mark chapter 7, verse 7, 8, 9, and 13. And I want to read those to you. Mark chapter 7, verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. It's not that they don't worship me. It's just that when they do, they worship me in vain. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, stop right there for a minute. I was raised in Catholicism, so I have a personal experience with this. As a matter of fact, went through catechism, was an altar boy, and did something probably that you didn't do. I went to seminary to be a Catholic priest, and the issue was celibacy. I couldn't do. I'm married. I've got 4 children, and there wasn't I could describe that to you, but I knew then at an early age there was no way that if I had to be in the ministry that I could be in the ministry and be an unmarried man. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now in my religious training, I studied catechism and went through confirmation. Then when I was in the seminary, we studied, and it was a regular school, and we also had some religious training time. Do you know, in all of those years, we never opened a Bible one time? Now, we dealt with scripture references. I mean, because during the Mass, there's always the reading from the Old Testament, the reading from the New Testament, and the reading from the Gospels. So we heard Bible readings, but we never opened a Bible and studied it one time. So what we were following were not the commandments of God. We were following doctrines that were the commandments of men. And that's what the Lord said here. That leads to vain worship. Verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things do ye. And he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Now, in dealing with numbers of people that were raised in the Catholic Church, they know the Catholic tradition. They have no idea about the commandments of God. So, you know what's happened? The commandments of God have been rejected, and the tradition of men has been kept. In other words, what Jesus said in verse 9 is absolutely true, and it's true of you. Verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And I'll tell you, the word of God has been made of none effect, because it's the tradition, the mass, the ritual of that, the confessional, the absolution of the priest, that has now taken precedent and priority over the words of God. So the way seems right, but when compared to what Jesus Christ said about the tradition of the way, he said, now that wouldn't be right at all. The Catholic way seems right because not only does it uphold the family honor and centuries of tradition, but it also involves fear. Fear. Now, the problem here is, you know, our way, our deal here, Proverbs chapter 12 says, there is a way that which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I can remember having an awesome fear of something. I would say a fear of God when I would go into the church. I knew that I was, you know, in the presence of a God about in front of whom I should be very ashamed about the things that I had done and thought. And that was a humbling experience. And that left me with a feeling of awe and a big feeling of guilt. And that feeling of awe and guilt, I took for a fear of God. But you know, after years of studying and thinking about it, I realized that that fear that I had was not in fact a fear of God, but it was a fear of man. It was a fear of man because I was afraid of the consequences of what would happen if somebody in the church found out what I was doing. And the fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible says. It's you know what the fear is? It's really superstition. It really is. It's superstition that if I do this, God's going to turn around and get me like that. And what happened to us when we all became teens and got into our young 20s and found out that God did not retaliate, you know what we started doing? We got deep into sin, and that is why you find within the Catholic Church many times young people, by the time they're 17, 18 years old, quit going to church and may not go until they have their own children and baptize those children in the church and then think, you know, we better start going again. And they'll stay away during those interim years. You know why? Because they realized that the superstition wasn't real. The things they thought God would, you know, hammer them for didn't happen. It's a fear of man, the fear of a priest, the fear of a pope, and it's bondage. And when men are ensnared by that, they want to get out of the trap. They don't want to be enslaved to the religion. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And that's a whole lot different than the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the appropriate fear to have. It is the appropriate right fear. But it's a fear that leads to wisdom, and that wisdom comes from the words of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and wisdom would turn you away from the snare of a man to the freedom and liberty of Jesus Christ. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not ensnared and enslaved by the fear of crossing the terms and tenets of the religion. The Catholic way seems right because it involves religious devotion. And I'll tell you what, honestly, within the Catholic Church, many, many of the members that you know and many of the members that I know are very, very devoted to their religion. Very devoted. Wouldn't miss Mass. Many go every day of the week. Very, very devoted to the religion. As a matter of fact, when Catholics convert to another religion, like our church is probably a third former Catholic, they make excellent church members. You know why? because they've been trained to go to church all the time. And so they're always in the services, always learning. And they've been trained to follow the leadership that's given to them. And in this case, when it comes from the Word of God, they get to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and not be in bondage to a man. It's a great relief to them. And they do very well. I should know. I am one. But you know the problem with religious devotion? It doesn't save you. In Acts chapter 10, verse 2, Cornelius was a devout man. Acts chapter 10, verse 2, Cornelius was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Look at him. He was devout. He feared God. He gave his money. And he prayed to God all the time. And you know what? He wasn't saved. That's why Peter was sent to his house to lead him to the Lord. If you read all of Acts chapter 10, his devotion could not save him, and the feeling associated with the devotion could not save him. And you know people in the Catholic Church that are very devoted to their religion, and it leads you to believe that if a man or a woman is that devoted, certainly God must consider the devotion and let them into heaven. But if they've not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior by faith without all the religious trappings, sorry. According to the Bible, religious devotion is not enough. The Catholic way seems right because it involves baptism and the Lord's Supper. And those are ordinances that the Lord left for us. But you know something? Water baptism cannot save. People say, well, in the Catholic Church, they don't teach that baptism does save. Well, then, pardon me, but you haven't been paying attention when you go to the funerals. I've been to numerous family funerals and funerals of friends in the Catholic Church. And the next time you go to one, listen very carefully to the entire service. And I guarantee you, early on in the service, near the beginning, the priest is going to take the holy water and get ready to apply it to the casket. And when he does, he is going to say that the person inside of that casket was put into Christ at his or at her baptism. You'll hear it. I've heard it every single time that I've gone to a Catholic funeral, and I've been to scores of them. Out comes that, the holy water is applied, and he'll say he was put into Christ at his baptism. And baptism won't save you. In Acts chapter 8, verse 13, Simon was baptized. The Bible says Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. But you know something? Simon didn't get saved. Because the Bible goes on to say in verses 22 and 23 in Acts chapter 8, Peter is talking to Simon. He says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God. See what he says? Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. His baptism didn't do anything for him. And it doesn't do anything for us when we're baptized as babies. Because the Bible says that you are put into Christ at the new birth when the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And as an infant, you have no way of confessing Christ, and you have no way of believing in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and you have no way of calling upon the Lord. The baptism is meaningless. Now, that may be a real blow to you and a real strike to you. But listen, if it didn't save Simon, it's not going to save you. Somebody said to me, it washes away original sin. I said, well, in my case, obviously it didn't take, because by the time I was 5 years old, I was a little devil. It includes, the Catholic way seems right because it includes the Eucharist. In John chapter 6, verse 53, Jesus Christ said very plainly to his disciples, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And so the Catholic Church has perpetuated the Eucharist, whereby through a miracle, the priest is able to change the bread into the literal body of Christ and the wine into the literal blood of Christ. And then you eat that and he drinks that, and that gives you salvation, according to John 6:53. But the problem is John 6:53 is in a context. And in verse 63, Jesus Christ plainly tells his now very confused disciples, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, that is, to make you alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. A man is saved by believing what Jesus Christ said, not by eating his literal body and drinking his blood. As a matter of fact, when Jesus Christ performed the Last Supper, he even said to his disciples, after he pronounced that the cup was the blood of the New Testament, he said unto them, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He told you, after he pronounced that the cup was the blood of the New Testament, that the contents of the cup was still the fruit of the vine. And you'll no place find in the New Testament that that fruit of the vine is ever called wine. Ever. Ever. It's a way that seems right, but in the end thereof, the ways of death. It is a way that involves good works. And Titus 3:5 and Ephesians 2:8-9 tell you plainly that good works cannot save you. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And big time problem with this way that seems right is you have no assurance of salvation. John told us in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you don't know that. You hope so, you think so, but you don't know so. You don't have assurance. And the truth of the matter is, anybody that I've ever dealt with in the Catholic Church who's following the Catholic way has no assurance of their salvation. None. You hope you do, you think you do, you believe you do, but you don't know it, and you're afraid to say that you do. You know why? Because you don't have it. The way that is right is Jesus. This way doesn't seem right. It is right. Now, we've led several Catholic men to the Lord recently, and they said when we talked to them about Jesus, it was like walking into a dark room and flipping on the light, because they could clearly see the gospel for the first time in their lives, and they got saved. One fella got saved, and he got mad because he'd been lied to all this time in the Catholic way. Now, what's happened to me is I've run right up to the end of the broadcast. Let me tell you quickly what you need to do. Listen carefully. I'm going to give you the telephone number, the web address, and the street address. Get these down.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.